This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Popped up. Paredes gives it a look. It's drifting, and it is caught by Paredes for the final out. And the Astros hold on to win it 4-3. A ball that stayed in play. Isak Paredes makes the catch for the final out against his former team, and the Astros now 3-2 on the road trip with a 4-3 win on the first game of this series.
Yeah, go Astros! They win last night 4-3, second straight 4-3 win. They take the first one from the Rays last night as we welcome you in on a Tuesday here. Sports Radio 610, we're with you till 10 a.m. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. It's funny, that was a foul pop-up to end the game, but it's when you listen to it and you hear Todd Callis go, this one's going to stay in play, I immediately think of the home run that the Rays hit to get their first two runs. I'm like, this is an easy, as we were talking, the phrase, this is a can of corn out there to right field. And then the thing just kept floating and floating and floating. And even Cam Smith, who is, you know, he's largely played in college stadiums and minor league ballparks before this season, even he looked a little quizzical as that thing sailed into the right field stands. Like, wow, these stands, they crept up quick.
There were some fun plays at the wall last night, I think because the ball was carrying so much. And it didn't carry as much in left field, but that damn left fielder for the Rays, Corral, he made some nice snags.
Poor Chazzy.
There have been some annoyingly good outfield plays by the opposing teams in the last couple series. Yeah. Adolis Garcia running around there like he was 170 pounds and said doesn't actually have the neck of a Brahma
sliding
bull
around. Yeah.
That was fun last night. That was fun. I Colton Gordon, there's a lot to like about how aggressive he is as a young guy, and kind of has that killer mentality and look about him as he goes about his business, despite looking a little bit too much like Adam Spillane for my liking. But
I was going to say, he doesn't look like a killer, but he pitches like a killer.
He doesn't look like a young pitcher.
Yeah.
He doesn't quite look like, this guy's young, up and coming. Like, no, he looks like he's 38 years old and he's seen some things,
right,
man.
Right. But he's been through some stuff.
But I
felt the same way about, I actually felt stronger about this start than his first one. You know, his first start, I'm looking at the numbers, was against the Royals, and it was very trafficky, and it was he labored a little bit in that game. He gave up 3 runs in 4 1/3, but I remember coming in the next day after that game, because the Astros ended up winning that game 4-3, and I remember saying, you know what? For a guy making his first big league start, 3 runs in 4 1/3 innings, it's not optimal. You know, if Hunter Brown or Framber went out there and got knocked out in the fifth and gave up 3 runs, it'd be like, all right, well, that's a missed opportunity. But with Colton Gordon, I was like, all right. And last night, last night it was 5 1/3 and gave up 3 earned runs, and 2 of them were on a home run that wouldn't have been a home run in any other ballpark in baseball.
Right. Yep.
So just in terms of, like, the contact he was giving up and his command and how he looked last night, Look, any of these games that you win with the Colton Gordons out there pitching, they something called Brandon Walter is pitching tonight. I had to go Google.
I've been long awaited.
You've been talking about this
Brandon
guy forever.
Walter,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, because they got him a couple years ago, but he had an injury he was rehabbing from. So,
you know, Brandon.
Brandon Walter, and this is something that I've known for years, is that he at one point, I'm just like you. I had to do all my searching on him last night. He was at one point kind of meteorically rising through the Red Sox organization from because he had a Tommy John when he was in college, so he was rehabbing that.
So then, he's gotten one already. We don't have to worry about that.
He's already got. Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I got to be careful because I'm mixing my Colton Gordon stuff in with my.
Gordon's had Tommy John. Yeah, Gordon's had Tommy John for sure. I know that. Yeah.
Gordon also was a. Gordon was actually a pizza boy in a non-derogatory way.
Yeah.
Remember, J.J. Watt delivered pizzas for a while, and they called him Pizza Boy when he got drafted. Colton Gordon was delivering pizza while he was rehabbing his Tommy John.
In West Palm,
In West Palm back in the day.
Yep.
So, but no, Brandon Walter, he was like a very fast-rising prospect, and then didn't do much when he got to MLB and then got injured. So you can see the upside in him, hopefully.
So this is so I think to my original point with Colton Gordon and with Brandon Walter is if these guys are giving you what Colton Gordon gave you last night, man, that is house money. These guys are getting called up from the minors to do these spot starts. I say spot starts. I mean, Colton Gordon, he may earn his way into a six-man rotation depending on when Arrighetti comes back, Wisniewski's out for the year. We still don't know if Lance McCullers has all his stuff straightened out yet. You know, he was better last time around. This thing, outside of Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez, and I'll throw Ronel Blanco in there, this thing is just, it is a roulette wheel right now, man.
It's we're very accustomed to this as Astros fans. Maybe sometimes get a little too comfortable almost being like, well, sure, just bring the next guy up and he'll develop. Remember me with JP France? Yeah, rock solid. Here we go.
He got injured.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. He'd probably be a Cy Young candidate right now.
Are you kidding me? Absolutely, yeah.
But, Hunter Brown is Hunter Brown, but Spencer Arrighetti last year just did the classic Astros thing where all of a sudden we're talking about him this year as a guy that, oh, boy, if he's healthy, there we go. We got
legit number three guy. Yep, legit number three guy.
So, yeah, Colton Gordon could be working his way into a five-man rotation based on how much everything is in flux.
Yeah, everything's in flux right now. So gold star for Colton Gordon last night. Kept him in the game. Did a good job. And Jake Myers with a home run to give him the lead, and they bring in the bullpen. Bullpen does what the bullpen does. I felt, man, Hader is perfect in save opportunities this year.
Yeah.
And I felt in the ninth inning when the first guy got on by catcher's interference, I'm like, oh, not this way. His perfect season ending because he got catcher's interference and then he got Baltimore chopped over to second on a ground ball, stole third, and then Hader had to pitch his way out of that, man, with just one out and a guy on third.
Well, it also included a great play by Altuve. Who had charge on an infield pop-up and ended up making
a
great
play. Yeah, on the little bunt.
At second base.
Yeah.
It was a pop-up bunt.
Yeah.
And Altuve.
Sliding catch.
Altuve might have something at second base. Keep an eye on this kid.
This guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This kid might do something.
Yeah.
You might want to consider a full-time switch to second base if he can handle the change at this age.
I wonder how hard that is for him just going back and forth like that. Like, second base and left field is kind of a... There are zero similarities in those two positions.
You've gone back and forth between a new girlfriend and an old one before.
There's one that's exactly how the
old girlfriend likes it.
Good analogy. You know? Good analogy because all we got told in spring training was how much fun Jose Altuve was having at both positions, especially in left field. He's just having
that's
fun.
What happened. He's basically like Bill Belichick at this point. He's got a new girlfriend, but he's also got his old bag of tricks.
His old girlfriend. The old 50-something blonde is second base, and the new Jordan Hudson is left field for him, right?
Yeah. So he goes out there, and he feels alive. It's his muse.
Yeah, man.
Well, left field is Jose Altuve's muse.
Yes.
But then he can go back to second base, which is coaching at UNC, and still do what he's done his whole life,
which
is coach football and or play second base.
We got a report on Yordan yesterday.
I don't like the shots of him in the dugout. He's always
flexing
his hand or something.
Is he? I haven't looked at that to see if he's doing that.
Here's the thing. He's not, but it's almost like anytime he makes a hand movement, I feel like it's one of those. I interpret it as, it doesn't look too comfortable. It doesn't look. He's holding an iPad, Seth. What are you talking about?
Dude, he's. Jordan said that his hand, through an interpreter, said his hand is, quote, getting better, but he still feels it when he swings. Alvarez said he played with the hand hurting for a while. So he was, according to Jordan, he was playing through this for a while. Yeah. And it reached a point where, quote, I had to stop because the hand started getting inflamed, end quote. This is the second time he's dealt with this. The first time, at least the second time. I mean, it's 2025. I want to say he's been dealing with hand issues since the year they won the World Series in 2022 with him.
Yeah.
And this is something, you know, if you're wondering, like, why is Jordan on such a good contract? This is probably one of the reasons why. Like, for whatever reason, this is not shade, but there are some athletes who are just a little more brittle than others, who sustain injury or more susceptible to injury than others. And boy, between obliques and knees and hands, you start to veer towards, okay, this is a good contract, but it's not a great contract because you know Jordan is going to be missing 25 games with something every year. You know
right.
what I mean? And you can't plan for stuff like this. I mean,
I guess you
can plan overall, but you don't know. It's always lurking around the corner with him.
His hand is the 2022 is when he had the IL stint.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he had a
finger in 2023.
Okay. Well, that's part of the hand.
That's attached to the hand, right?
Yeah. It's hand adjacent is what they call that.
I'm pretty good with the medical terms when it comes to, like, I know that he's had a neck before. That's not torso adjacent.
That's not hand adjacent.
That's torso adjacent. He had three times it came up in 2022. That was the thing about it.
Yeah. This was a big lingering deal. Yes.
It was all season long. The IL stint, even after the IL stint, he ended up, you know, with reports in that season.
Glass half full. In years where Jordan has recurring hand injuries, historically, the Astros win the World Series. And he hits the game-winning home run in the clinching game. That's what that small sample size. One season, but in every season where he's got lingering hand injuries that put him on the IL, they win the World Series.
We need to do as a show to show him that we support. It's that we should annoy him with a bunch of different suggestions for what he should be doing to keep his hands.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we should smash our hands with a hammer in solidarity with him.
Oh, like old, was that Gardner Minshew that claims he did that? Or was that?
I don't know. I
can't remember who it was.
Now I got to go Google
it. He was on a Barstool podcast and he claimed that in college once he wanted to get a medical red shirt.
That sounds familiar and it sounds like something Gardner Minshew would do.
It sounds like something he would lie about doing. Yeah. I don't know that. But of all spots to injure yourself as a quarterback, I don't think the hand is the smartest one. The thing I worry about with Jordan is...
Jordan out? Gardner Minshew once intentionally tried to break his own hand with a hammer to get another year of eligibility at ECU, yes.
Yeah. Who does that? Who says, I am a quarterback. It's my non-throwing hand.
Certainly,
I'll risk the smashing into the body part that has so many bones that even big men like Jordan Alvarez can't keep them all together at
one point. I didn't mean to interrupt you. What were you going to say about Jordan there? You were going to say something.
Did you interrupt me?
To the Gardner Minshew.
Oh, yeah. That's what I worry about with Jordan is that, could it be like a muted version of J.J. Watt where – he's not having these season-ending type injuries or anything, but you feel like JJ never attained his true potential greatness because he just had too many injuries. Jordan, in some ways, it feels like, man, for how potentially great he could be.
Yeah.
You know, JJ is a guy that if he had stayed healthy, could have been an all-time sack leader.
Yep.
Like that type of up in that category.
I like
but the injuries did him in.
I like the analogy. Jordan is not a Hall of Famer yet. When JJ started getting hurt, he was already a Hall of Famer. But they're both among the best at what they did when healthy, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like
that's why. Well, but if Jordan keeps having nagging injuries or perpetually having these issues, that's what, I guess that could, it's in that same boat.
It's in the same boat, for sure. They are both, when healthy, they are both peak at what they do, no question.
They might both be those guys that are so big and freakishly athletic that their bodies can't handle it.
Maybe, man. I hope that's not the case, but at least you got him on a good deal, which doesn't mean squat when he's sitting there hanging out, chit-chatting in the dugout.
It's less of a good deal when he's not playing.
When he's not playing, it's way less of a good deal. But the Astros win last night, that's the big thing, so we'll circle back to that in headlines. All right, we found out via some content from another NFL team about a trade the Texans were looking to make in the draft. The Texans were looking to move up. Were they looking to draft the same guy this team selected when they rejected the Texans trade? Would you have done this deal? And who would not be on this team right now if they did this deal? This is some interesting stuff. We will get to that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Astros win last night. We hit that in the open 4-3. We'll hit that again in headlines in about 20, 25 minutes or so. So apparently, according to a documentary, and I guess this is the first in what'll be a series, kind of similar to the Texans' Iron Sharpens Iron. If you've seen that, the Texans have Iron Sharpens Iron. It's a series on YouTube that their social media team, I'm assuming, puts together. It's very well done. It's really good. It's really fun to watch now because it largely covers good, competent football. This would not have popped as well in the David Culley or Lovie Smith eras, but it seems like a lot of this content that documents things behind the scenes has coincided with the D'Amico Ryans era, and that's been a lot of fun. Yeah,
they've been upping their game steadily, and I think they kind of cut their chops. Is that the expression? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Those couple of years, they were actually doing some pretty cool stuff. It just largely went unnoticed.
Yeah.
So now by the time a relevant football team arrived, they could really throw themselves full bore.
And that's what they've done. And it's called Iron Sharpens Iron. Now the Patriots are doing one, and you'll see why we're bringing up the Patriots here in just a second. But the Patriots are doing one called Forged in Foxborough, and it's got a similar iron theme to it. Like the beginning intros have a lot of sparks and welders and iron men, you know, banging on anvils and things like that. But this thing is, the first episode is, it's like movie length. It's an hour and 13 minutes long, and it covers, it does cover from the time Mike Vrabel was hired all the way through the draft. So this thing covers like 4 months worth of content. And it's, I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched bits and pieces of it. It's very good. The part, the reason why we're bringing this up, story popped up yesterday because their first episode of this popped up this week. And the draft room, they go into the draft room, man. Like, they are in the draft room with Elliot Wolf. Elliot Wolf is doing vignettes that get spliced in, like describing what was going on in the draft room. It is very inside. It is the complete opposite of probably how it's been in Foxborough for the last 25 years, if I had to guess. There was probably nothing like this going on with Belichick back in the day. But the reason I bring this up is because the Texans got kind of pulled into this story yesterday where the Patriots had the 38th pick in the draft, so early in the second round, shortly after the Texans picked Jaden Higgins with the 34th overall pick, and the Patriots were getting phone calls about that pick. The Chicago Bears wanted to give them a 7th-round pick to move up one spot from 39 to 38. Presumably, the Bears, I think, did want to draft Travion Henderson, which is who the Patriots ended up taking with the 38th pick. The other trade the Patriots had on the table, and it was very clear in this. The audio is not great, which is why we don't have it, but you could hear that the Texans had an offer into the Patriots in which the Texans would get the 38th pick. They would move up 20 spots. And in the process, the Patriots would get the 79th pick and a third rounder next year. So essentially, Seth, 2 third round picks to move up 20 spots in the draft, the Texans. Mm-hmm. Patriots move back 20 spots, pick up those 2 thirds. It doesn't specify who the Texans were targeting there.
Right.
Do we think they could have been targeting Travion Henderson there?
Travion Henderson felt very, very possible. After Thursday night,
I went and 34,
watched,
right?
Yeah. I watched a bunch of Travion Henderson clips the night before. I think I don't go to bed that night. I can't remember, which probably means that I didn't go to bed. I think there's very, very possible. I know supposedly not drafting for position or need, whatever. Boy, they were going heavily into offense at the top of this draft. And trying to help CJ Stroud out. The fact that they traded up for Woody Marks in a way that didn't seem like a classic Nick Caserio move. Like, they traded pretty aggressively up to draft a running back at that spot. I think they wanted to help CJ Stroud out with weaponry, whether it was on the offensive line, wide receiver, or running back. And the second round is a good place to do that.
And Travion Henderson.
With a running back.
Henderson is a former college teammate of CJ Stroud's also at Ohio State. So there's that little wrinkle. I don't think that's why they'd pick a guy, but it's certainly they've got probably as much or more intel on him than anybody else.
Well, and it's when it comes to asking players about, hey, CJ, how much do you know about Travion Henderson or something? You got to be careful about, you know, having players feel like they're selecting the players or anything. Yeah. When you ask players on your team about guys, they're not going to generally say anything bad about them. And CJ didn't play a bunch with Travion Henderson, but you can kind of power rank them, you know? You're like, they might have asked CJ about the offensive tackle, Josh Simmons, and Josh might have said, oh, yeah, he's a swell fella. Sure, yeah.
They picked, right. They actually ended up picking Ariante Ursary 10 picks after that. So they moved up to get Ariante Ursary at 48. I'm looking at the draft right now. I'm just trying to figure out if it had to be Travion Henderson. I'm looking at the next 10 guys to get picked between Henderson and Ursary.
Luther Burden could have made sense. Luther Burden, the wide receiver.
But they had just taken Higgins 4 picks before that. You know, like,
oh, that's right. In my mind, that pick is gone.
Yeah, they had just taken Higgins.
Well, I mean, they would go on to take another wide receiver. I doubt they would have aggressively traded up for Luther Burden. I mean, they took a Luther Burden type of dude in a lot of ways, too.
But they just took him at that spot. They didn't give up multiple draft picks to go get him.
Yeah.
And Burden's got all that baggage where he doesn't feel like a Texans guy, at least rumored baggage with his, you know, his inner circle and whatnot.
Yeah. The only other thought I had was Mason Taylor, the tight end out of LSU.
Yeah.
Potentially could have been the guy. That would have made a lot of sense. And at that point, they might have thought, I think Mason Taylor makes sense. Travion Henderson would be the guy that you would trade up for, I think.
I'll give you one more name that went 47, the pick before Ursary, who fell, who was a first-round pick in every mock draft, but had some injury concerns late in the process, is Will Johnson, the cornerback out of Michigan.
Yeah.
He got picked by Arizona with that pick right before Ursary. I, you know, I Were they going to trade multiple thirds to go up and get a guy who had injury concerns? I don't know.
Well, and this is the other potential option, is that maybe they were targeting Ursary. That if there was
possibly
that they might have just overshot it, and we would never know if that's what happened. But they might have been, well, maybe they liked Ursary that much to trade up aggressively before him, and then the way the board fell, and maybe whatever trade possibilities that would happen, nothing looked smart, but he was still there.
Yeah, no, and there were no offensive linemen taken in between 38 and 48, you know?
So here's the one possibility, and I don't know whether Texans fans like wish this would have happened or happy with where Cody Stutes put a poll out where it basically looked like most Texans fans are happy with the way it all worked out.
Yeah.
I think it looks like on the video, it's hard to hear and see exactly what's going on, but it looked like the Texans, if the Patriots were on the phone with the Texans, that the Texans might have pulled themselves out of the deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's the Patriots look like they're saying, you're out. Okay.
Yeah.
And now we don't know for sure that they were talking to the Texans and that was the deal that would.
Yeah. And again, we'd have the audio, but the audio is not great. But we do know there was a deal on the table between the two teams that involved those picks. Basically, what this would mean if you had made that deal, let's pretend it was for Travion Henderson for a second. Hypothetically, would you rather have had Travion Henderson, or they ended up with Ursary, Noel, and Woody Marks? I'm assuming, because again, the trade would have been Texans moving up 20 spots and giving up the 79th pick, which they used on Noel. Sorry, I'm going to get texts from people telling me it's Noel, and a third round pick next year, which I'm assuming was one of the picks they used to get Woody Marks the next day. So you wouldn't have Woody Marks on this team. You wouldn't have Noel on this team. Probably wouldn't have Ursary on this team. Again, there's, you know, the Texans could have made more moves after that to get any one of these guys, possibly. But that's kind of how it, from what we know, that's kind of how it plays. I'd rather have the crew of guys that they ended up getting, especially considering how highly praised that Noel pick has been at 79. You know, that's been a universally lauded pick by the Houston Texans.
Cody Stutes, the poll he put out says, which would have been better for the Houston Texans in the 2025 NFL draft? Travion Henderson or the combination of Ursary and Jalen Noel?
Yeah.
90% of Cody's respondents say they prefer the way it actually happened with Ursary and Jalen Noel.
And I think if I had to guess, you know, we just have the numbers. We don't have the why people voted that way that strongly. But if I had to guess, it's a combination of the evaluation the Noel pick has gotten since then, and the fact that if you made that Henderson deal, then you may not be getting an offensive lineman at any point in this draft. Ursary's the only offensive lineman they took, and that was viewed as a huge need. So I'm guessing that some people voted like, no, we had to come away with something the first 2 days on the offensive line, or else it is a really, really slippery slope.
And it's also, man, like drafting a running back, or even if you draft the right guy, the fact that he's going to either stay healthy or what have you.
Yeah.
There's a hesitancy. So when it's easy for me to say, oh, yeah, you know what? You take a running back and then he ends up injured or doesn't pan out or whatever. What's he really do for you? The one thing about Travion Henderson is that he does he pass protects.
Yeah.
And I think for the Texans, you look at the final quarter of that Chiefs game, man, it would have been nice to have a running back in there who was good in pass protection.
It was a mess.
Because that was one of the many, many issues they had in that quarter. But, I'm especially, like you said, the Jalen Noel pick has been so lauded as like a great value selection, whatever. Mm-hmm. That it makes it a lot easier to think, okay, yeah, I'd rather have two swings at the plate with Ursary and Noel than one potential at a very risky position to draft.
Yeah, and Marks probably isn't on this team too. Again, they gave up a third. They would have given up a third next year as well, and that's what they gave up to move in and get Woody Marks the next day. For what it's worth, if you want to, you know, if you want to wet the palate here with some Travion Henderson and think about what might have been, this was actual good audio on the Patriots documentary. This was Vrabel and Elliott Wolf, their GM, talking about the Henderson pick.
Some teams were calling, talking about moving up, and ultimately we didn't feel that the value being offered to us was worth possibly losing out on Travion. So we just ended up sending the pick in and getting him on the phone with about 58 seconds left there.
You're just weighing the options of, do we feel like we can get this player later, or is this a player that we would stick and pick? And so we felt like what was best for us was to get Trey, and I'm glad we did.
He's a fun one because I think we saw the same thing that the fans saw. We saw those explosive plays, just his ability to take it the distance each time he touches the ball. It's all of it. It's the route running, the pass protection, the toughness, the character, the physicality, and just all those things added up into the right player.
There you go. Echoing what you just said there. Total package. There's
And honestly, it's having played on a team that had an incredible running back when Fred Taylor was very much in his peak, it's amazing how many games we won just because Fred Taylor had a 90-yard reception for a touchdown.
He races a lot of mistakes, man.
Yeah, it is. It's a cushion you have. And over the course of a 17-game season, the more playmakers you have, the more guys like Nico Collins who can – how many times has Nico Collins, you know – in hindsight said like retroactively won a game for you because it was just a huge 80-yard touchdown reception or what have you. It tilts the tables in enough games per year that it's home field advantage. It's making the playoffs at all. It's enticing to have a guy
big
like that.
Big plays like that. And even like third and 12s where you just ran two terrible plays to get into third and 12. And then this guy just makes a catch, or if it's Travion Henderson, you know, catches a screen out of the backfield, makes two guys miss, things that five other guys can do. You know what I mean? Just stuff like that. You're absolutely right. It's a good pick. It's a good documentary. I jumped around in it, but it's I'm just watching this content. I'm going, boy, there must be New England Patriot fans who are getting this level of access now. We're like, holy crap, we've never had this before. It is so immersive, this thing, this documentary.
I feel like they've been, the Patriots put out a lot of, because Bob Kraft has had that annoying, you know, Patriots Productions. Remember, that was part of his production company that it looked like they were filming the sideline of the opponent. Was that at Energy Stadium? It feels like it was, I can't remember what, anyway. He was actually, like, somebody had to stop this guy.
Yeah.
And it was supposedly just for a documentary. But it was all part of this Patriots Productions.
Right.
They've been putting out annoying stuff forever. It's just this, this will be a lot more heavy on the football side.
Yeah, like, not in the war room before. Like, I don't recall ever watching stuff like this with Belichick making picks, but maybe I'm wrong.
This might be the first time that we can really say, okay, a move that if the Patriots really like Travion Henderson, then it makes sense that Caserio would really like Travion Henderson.
Yeah.
Because Elliott Wolf has only been with the Patriots since 2000. I think he was a consultant the first couple of years.
Yeah.
So he became the director of scouting in 2022. So he's not a Caserio guy, didn't have the same upbringing or anything. This is just one NFL team doing business with another NFL team, and then there you have it.
9 minutes ago, somebody texted, y'all haven't mentioned what position Henderson plays. We probably have in the last 9 minutes, but we apologize for that. In case we haven't, he's a running back. I think that's gotten mentioned a few times, but just in case. Sorry about that, texter. He's a running back out of Ohio State, a very good one. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Let's get to headlines. The Astros, we got a Yordan Alvarez update. We've got the Astros winning last night in Tampa Bay, taking the first of that series. Big week in the NFL as well. The owners meet today and tomorrow in Minneapolis. Tweak to one of the rules that's going to get voted on. So we'll talk about that in headlines, and a big contract for a linebacker in the NFL as well. We will get to all of that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, presented by Men's Tee Clinic.
Explains why the strike to walkout ratio is 19-4. Get out.
That ball hit to right. The ball's been carrying there all night. It's gone.
Do it.
Jake Myers, number three on the year. First batter to face Manuel Rodriguez. Hits one out to give the Astros a 4-3 lead.
Yeah,
mammoth shot to right field. 338 feet.
Welcome to the game, Manuel Rodriguez, whoever you are. Jake Myers just took you yard and won the game for the Houston Astros last night. 4-3, that was right after the Rays had tied the score at 3 against Colton Gordon. Bullpen came in and did a great job again last night. Brian King, Brian Abreu, Josh Hader shutting them down in the ninth inning. And that was great to see. Jake Myers, man, with the 2-for-3 last night. He's batting .301. I think I saw Michael Schwab tweet this out yesterday. Jake Myers, who was going into the game yesterday, was batting .293, so he goes 2-for-3. His average is up over .300 now. Highest batting average of any center fielder in the American League right now, Jake Myers. How about that?
Jake. And is he past the point where, because he got off to a fast start last year and then obviously plummeted afterwards.
He had a huge May last year, so I'm going to wait till June before I get super excited about
it. Right. So we're getting close. We're side-hugging him right now.
We're side-hugging him, yeah.
If he keeps playing this way, we'll turn on to full frontal hugging.
Yeah, we'll be spooning by the end of the month and then probably full. Well, spooning's probably more intimate than a full frontal hug. You're right.
Yeah.
We don't need to go down this path. This is getting to be disturbing visuals. But yes, I'll be more. If we get to this time in June, what's today, May 20th? If we're June 20th and Jake Myers is still in an OPS in the mid to high 700s, which I'll take from Jake Myers in a heartbeat, then I'll get excited about, because you know what we're getting defensively from Jake Myers? You're getting a ton of range, circus catches, slightly below average arm.
I'll be excited to give him a full bore hug.
Yes.
Got gentle eyes.
Yeah.
The one thing, we didn't bring this up the first time. Cam Smith in right field. Yeah. He missed a fly ball last night that it was, he's still adjusting.
Past him. Yeah.
Playing in right field, but he overran it. Yeah. It was almost like when a quarterback, my first thought was like, Schaub threw that ball. It looked like Schaub couldn't throw, couldn't catch Andre Johnson in stride.
Yeah.
He hustles his butt off out there.
He does.
And it was on a night where the ball was really carrying in right field. So because the Astros won, I'm inclined to completely excuse it.
Yeah.
And look at it as evidence of just, man, he's very, very fast out there. There's another one where Myers was catching a fly ball in short center, and just out of nowhere, you see Cam running behind him. He's all over the place.
We shouldn't be laughing. Like, there's going to be a collision at some point. Jake isn't the best traffic director out there, I don't think.
Well, I think there was he's got these young guys, these youthful corner outfielders in Cam Smith and Jose Altuve that are just rambunctious.
They're
out there running around like crazy. Now, Altuve was at second last night in the ninth inning. He made a great play. Looked like he got some potential at second base. I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
You might see him at second base more.
This Altuve guy might have something at second base. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, Jake, this comes a minute after me praising Jake Hiley.
Yeah.
Just Jake has that blank stare sometimes where, like, if the crossing guard at my kid's school had the look on his face that Jake Myers had, I'd be like, oh, my kid's going to get hit by a bus eventually here for sure.
No, you know what Jake has? Jake has that Eli Manning quality to him where if he's playing really well, wow, look at that guy. He's ice cold. If he's playing poorly, like, he's a doofus.
He's unflappable, this guy. Yeah. Look at him.
Based on your baseball player, you're either unflappable or a doofus.
I love that. Jake had a stolen base last night for the first time in forever. Yeah, man. Like,
speaking of goofiness, yeah. Yiner getting to first on what should have been a strikeout.
Probably could have gone to second. That thing rolled forever.
He swung at a curveball that almost hit the first baseman.
It's good strategy. I like the strategy.
And it would have been a strikeout.
It's a good way to get on first base.
But it was such a bad pitch to swing at that the catcher couldn't handle it, and he got to first. Yeah.
That was fun. So the Astros win last night. Tonight we get on the mound, we get someone named Brandon Walter. Will be making his first start for the Astros tonight. And, hey, man, as long as they keep winning these games or they're bringing these randos up from the minor leagues, I'm looking forward to it. Let's see what happens. 6 o'clock start, in bed by 9 last night. I love these East Coast series. It was great.
The early start got me, especially because Colton Gordon was dealing.
Yeah, man.
He went from the first guy on base and then had how many straight outs was it?
It was 12. 12 straight outs.
It ended up being 12 straight outs. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he was great. He was great.
He was mowing him down, man. Yep.
Brandon Walter tonight. We'll get to Yordan and his hand at the top of the hour, but suffice it to say, the latest updates are very murky. It sounds like things are getting better, but it's not going nearly as fast as we would like it to, I think, with Yordan. We'll get to Yordan at the top of the hour, but frustrating reports, at least in my opinion, on that. NFL, the league meetings are starting today in Minneapolis. It's not clear, at least where I've looked, as to when they're going to vote on these rules. The headlines I've seen indicate that it might be Wednesday, but could be today. So we'll keep our head on a swivel. But the big ones are the seeding for the playoffs will be done. If they vote this particular rule in, the four division winners in each conference will not be the top four seeds. They'll be in the playoffs, but the seeding will be done with all seven teams based on their overall record. The tiebreaker will be division champions get the nod over wild card teams if they have the same record. So that's a big one that gets voted.
It would be, and if you go back to, as you laid out yesterday, you go back to last year where the Texans' final game was kind of meaningless, so a lot of stars didn't play. That would have been meaningful under this scenario.
No doubt.
The Texans had already hemmed up the division championship and with a home playoff game, but they would have had to actually play for that. So then you can go butterfly effect and say, well, what if some starters have gotten injured in that game? Yeah. Whatever. It makes it more exciting. The sum total of it is there's going to be a lot more potentially exciting games in the final week this season.
These leagues, this is not just the NFL. This is especially the NBA, but also baseball. It's the biggest thing that's incumbent upon them right now is to make the regular season meaningful. There's too many games where teams don't have to play their guys, you know, and especially in the NFL at the end of the year, and especially in the NBA, seemingly year-round, where they're just load-managing guys and whatnot. So
the other big thing on the rules front to pay attention to in the long term is that it does seem like the NFL owners really, really, really want 18 games. And this time, the players, like, they objected the first time. And I don't know. This is where I... As a former player, I should say, no, that's too many games. It's physically untenable. But as a fan and as somebody who talks about football 4 hours a day sometimes, this 17-game series, like the season, the math is just
the
too
odd
hard
numbers.
For me.
You hate the odd numbers, and I hate them too. I'm with you.
It's the dumbest thing in the world, but it makes everything clunky.
Yeah. I'd rather go back to 16, honestly. Like, I'd rather go back to 16 than have 17 right now.
You know, I'd like to go back to having an actual 500 team.
Yes.
Like to actually be in 500.
Can we get that?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other big one is the tush push. And yesterday, the Packers, who are the ones presenting the banning of the tush push. You know, everybody knows the tush push. The Eagles have made famous by taking two linemen and shoving Jalen Hurts, who probably doesn't need two linemen, shoving him for short yardage situations. The Packers are trying to get that play banned, and they revised the language yesterday, and this is what I thought it would be all along. They revised the language in their tush-push proposal yesterday to basically just say you can't push or pull ball carriers anywhere on the field. In other words, how it was before the year 2004. In 2004, they opened it up so that you were allowed to push or pull ball carriers.
Nobody did anything with it for 10 years.
Yeah, they didn't do
anything.
And then
you started seeing guys to push guys because the offenses, these brilliantly analytical football minds, it took them a decade to realize, oh, well, we're allowed to do that now. Yeah, okay. But it evolved into the tush push.
So if you do it where they can't do it everywhere, you're not necessarily singling out one team, I guess. It's just like, hey, you can't push, and which I'm fine with.
Right. The reason they made the rule originally was that they felt it was too hard to officiate. Yeah. That there were just too many instances where, is this guy? And usually it happens on piles down or piles downfield or at the goal line.
Yep.
All right, is this offensive lineman actually trying to block a defensive lineman, or is he pushing the running back, or was it incidental? I think the NFL owners might be at the spot where they say, well, okay, that's a little bit of hazy, but this tush push is just so boring. We need to do the give or take on this, it's just everything's boring when they do this.
Yep, and I think that's all along, that's what I thought the change would be if they were to change it. Now, here's what you need to know, and we'll finish up headlines here. As of March, 16 teams were in line with the Packers here, including the Packers. 16 teams wanted to ban the tush push. 16 either did not or they were on the fence. I guess the question becomes how many of the 16 teams that were either a no or a maybe have come over to the other side? We'll find out in the next
Texans
day or
play,
two.
The Texans play the Bills this year. The Bills are one of the best teams in the league at the tush push. But they also, ironically, are one of the teams that doesn't want the tush push to be legal.
The Packers are pretty vocal. The Texans, ironically, are one of the teams, at least Nick and D'Amico, that seem cool with it right now. Like they're in the, hey, we got to learn how to stop it category. At least publicly, that's what they've said. On this show, Nick has said that before. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Those are your headlines. Fred Warner signs a 3-year, $63 million deal with the Niners. That was the other one I teased. Okay, this Yordan Alvarez update on the hand. How problematic is this thing going to be? Is this just something that's always going to be lurking around the corner? And where does Yordan's injury rank among the Houston injuries across sports that we're most concerned, that are always seemingly lurking around the corner? We got a lot to get to here in the 7 o'clock hour, so let's get to that. Right away. We'll do that coming up next. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Nerds!
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.